Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Whether to fish or not. W-E-A-T-H-E-R. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 10th and 11th. Full disclosure, we have a lot of stuff going on later this week and weekend. So we are in the studio very early this week. So the weather that's coming up with Debbie, the ramifications, the far-reaching, we don't know. So go when you can. But I'll tell you, this hard south, frigid water, then wind turns around, it gets warm again, the fluke bite goes insane, a flounder going crazy, and boom, just like that, boom, shuts right off again. I guess that's why they call a fish, and bluefish have been great. Great striper fishing going on, and white perch have been good. We have been doing some great freshwater fishing, largemouth, channel cats, pickerel, just really enjoying them. But don't forget those tidal river white perch. It has been on fire. We'll get to that a little later in the show. Coming at me, we're talking sharks from the beach. Actually, I remember back in the early to mid-90s, shout out to what's the magazine up there north? On the Water. He used to work, a guy named Jimmy, used to work at Fanatics in Ocean City. And he was kayaking for brown sharks off the beach. I'll never forget, he told me one time, he says, "Hey, Tommy P, if the Shubi mommies knew what was in the water well within 100 yards of the beach, they'd never let their kids get in there." Well, that evolved eventually. It was late 90s, I remember. And a shout out to Nikki Honoshevsky, Saltwater Underground, who was sort of pioneering it big time, although they've been doing it down south for years, decades. He was in the Point Pleasant Beach, Manasquan area, shark fishing from the beach. Whoa, hey, Tommy, Pat, you got to see the size of some of these sharks. And I went there, saw it a couple of times myself, said, "Mary, Mother of God, I don't want to go swimming in there." Well, it sort of died down a little bit, but it's getting more active again, Back Bay in the boats, but also along the beaches, especially lower LBI area, actually the length of the island. Some action there on a ship bottom, also up in Barnegat Light as well. Shark fishing from the beach, and it's a lot more. Hey, it could be as simple as esoteric as you want, but believe me, you want to connect. You want to make contact with a variety of sharks in there. Catch and release. Catch and release. Go to page 19 in the Marine Digest. All the particulars are there, okay? And no, it's not a brown shark. It's a sandbar shark. No, it's not a sandbar. It's a brown shark. It's a brown shark sandbar. Again, must be released, but it's... You want to be successful and get some of these big sand tigers, for example, in the 7, 8, 9 foot class, yep, that close off the beach. You need to really give it a study. Here to give a brief tutorial, new friend, young gun from Rack and Fin Radio, Jordan Yukevich. He has been doing this 6 or 7 years, and the guy is an ace. And there's a lot involved. Now, you talk about drones, you talk about this, you're getting the baits out there. It can be a crazy time. It can be, this is what it, it's like bear hunting. To me, it's like bear. Okay, you have 55 minutes of, and then 5 minutes of sheer freaking mayhem. Jordan's going to share with us some tactics, what to do, what not to do. And again, the importance of not getting these fish out, handling them in the water, and releasing them as soon as possible. Jordan Yukevich, what's up, man?
What's going on, Tom T?
Shark time! So, hey, man, that beach water's been kind of chilly, has it not? Has that toned down the bite a little bit, or is it on the upswing? What do you got?
Yeah, it turned down the bite a lot. I mean, I had a couple days last week where I went out, and we did pretty good. The water was pretty warm. We got a few fish, but it's this whole summer, the water's been cold for a couple weeks, then hot for a couple days and back to cold again. So
yeah, Jordan, now this weekend, let's just full disclosure. We're in the studio earlier. We have some, domestic things that we are taking care of on the home front. So I'm in the studio early, but this weekend, the wind's supposed to turn around, cause it was cold Sunday, Monday, Jordan. So the water looks warm for this coming weekend. Is that the forecast you're hearing?
Yeah. To be honest with you, I haven't, I usually don't, I take it with a grain of salt until it's like the day or two before.
Right.
Just because the weather always changes. But, I'm hoping that we get some north wind, move some good water back into the ocean and the bay, so I can get out there and fish.
There you go. Join us as Jordan Yukevich, beach, shark hunter, I will say. So, Jordan, very exciting, though. I mean, catching the, you get some, and when he says fish, he makes it sound so casual, like, yeah, I got a tog, got a bluefish. Jordan, give some of the sizes of some of these fish you guys are catching.
The two of the fish that we got last week were, you know, a little smaller. They're in like that 5 to 6 foot range. But then we pulled up a 300 pounder, probably 8 to 9 feet. Absolute giant fish.
Now, these are sand tigers that size?
Yeah. Yep. They get pretty big.
Is that the usual quarry there? Because I saw once up in the Point Pleasant Beach area, again, shout out to Nikki there. It was a small thresher, maybe with the tail, maybe 5, 5.5 feet, gave him a hell of a fight. But you hear other sharks in there as well, or is it, and you know, you got the brown shark, sandbars, okay, whatever. But is it primarily for that size, the sand tigers?
Yeah. Yep. Usually the brown sharks are a little bit smaller. Yeah, the sand tigers definitely, they're pretty thick there, at least where I go. I've caught a lot more sand tigers in the last 2 years than I have brown sharks, which is kind of surprising to most people, but that's been the case for me.
Well, Jordan, what are they after? Are they eating the skates? Are they eating the croakers? What's the dealio? What are they munching on, bro?
I use, to be honest with you, I use a lot of different stuff. I like to put out a couple different rods with different baits on it. I use anything from mackerel, bunker. I put out any of the my fluke carcasses I keep. I put those out. You know, these sand tigers, they're bottom feeders. They're hunting the sandbars at night. So anything on the bottom of the ocean is going to be something they kind of pick at. So
fair game, man. Look out, skates. I mean, they're skate munchers, correct?
Yeah, you can use skates too. Sometimes those are good to, if you can catch them fresh, you can send them back out there. And they'll get picked up pretty quick.
Jordan Yukevich, shark fishing maven there along the beaches at Jason, Jordan, rather, 99% night dealio, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you can get them during the day too. You know, the nighttime is just kind of what's convenient for me. But if I have, you know, an off day from work or whatever, and I can get out there during the day and the weather is nice, I'll fish her in the day.
A flashback because I have it in my photo file from about 4 or 5 years ago. A young lady and her sister and dad, they were off the side of this. I think it was in Surf City, I guess. They were off the side of the swimming area, and they were tossing out whole squid. And I have a photo of her in her bikini holding up probably a 4.5 foot brown shark. And it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll have to show it to you the next time I run into you at the shop. I said, well, she says, oh, yeah, we've been catching these for a couple. They're all over the place. I says, whoa, made it look easy. But, listeners, our next segment, we're going to get into it, getting the baits out, choosing, and the right tackle. This can be, again, it can be as simple, as esoteric as you want it. But if you want to fully experience this, the thrill, the rush, the headbanging on this, do it the correct way. Sure, you got to hang in for a little bit. One more question. We're up against the break. When you're choosing your area to fish, or for example, are you in Holgate one night, conditions are better in Beach Haven, conditions are better in Harvey Cedars? What's the deal when you're searching, weather, everything involved, when you're searching an area to pick? Because there, the area you primarily hunt, that's a long-ass piece of real estate, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I typically look for where the water's kind of moving quick. We'll get into that once we go over the tackle. You know how to deal with that, but right. I like where it gets kind of deep quick and where the water is moving pretty fast. So there's a lot of bait moving through the area. There's a lot of fish, predatory fish that are moving through the area. So it kind of narrows down some of your spots. Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with going to the middle of the island to find the fish, as long as you deploy the baits right and you fish the tide right.
That's it, man. Because they are ever on the prowl. They're like Tom P doing Pizza Row up there in the Poconos. Yeah, you're gonna read about that blog pretty soon. Hey, people, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Jordan Yukevich, big game from the beach. Rack and Fin Radio,
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5. Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. Maryland's attempt to limit the carrying of firearms is now overturned following a federal lawsuit. In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's Bruin decision, which unwound the restrictive gun laws in New York State, other states began passing laws aimed at preventing firearm owners from carrying in certain public places, citing Bruins' sensitive places doctrine, which may allow for cities or states to say places like schools can exclude guns. Maryland tried to apply the sensitive places doctrine to businesses selling alcohol or even 1,000 feet from any public demonstration. The Firearms Policy Coalition and others sued, and the U.S. court in the District of Maryland now says what the state did violates the Constitution. Maryland does require permits for the carrying of handguns. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Hello, I'm the Atlantic County Sheriff, Joseph O'Donohue. I've proudly dedicated my law enforcement career to keeping our community safe. But I also am a proud parent, grandparent, and great-grandparent who understands the importance of keeping our children safe. Motor vehicle crashes continue to be the leading cause of death for our children ages 1 to 12. No parent or caregiver wants to ever imagine that their child is involved in a car crash, but it's important to be prepared. Children should always be buckled up in the right seat, the right booster seat for their age, their height and weight, every ride, every time. A properly installed child safety seat can reduce the risk of injury by as much as 71% for infants and 54% for our toddlers. Atlantic County Sheriff's Office is definitely here to help. We have certified child passenger safety seat technicians available to properly install or check the position of your car seat at no charge. For more information, please call 609-909-7200 or visit acsheriff.org.
Are you already doing digital advertising sales? Do you know all about targeted display, social media marketing, the latest in SEM and behavioral targeting? If so, you could be Townsquare Media's new advertising sales star. We're looking for passionate sales professionals to join our media and digital advertising team. If consulting and connecting local businesses with their ideal audience for growth sounds exciting, let's have a conversation about you working for Townsquare Media. The right career choice is all about timing, and right now is the perfect time to join our team as an advertising account executive. Our comp package is amazing, with unlimited earning potential, including base salary, 401k match, and more, along with world-class training and plenty of room for growth. If you're competitive, driven, and have the ability to communicate great ideas, we want to hear from you. Reach out to Michael Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249 or visit careers.townsquaremedia.com. Townsquare Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Pulling up to Mickey D's just for drinks? Oh yeah, that's me. Nothing extra, just perfection and a straw. Coming in hot for the coldest cups on the block. Because there are drinks. Then there are drinks from McDonald's.
Pull up before 11 a.m. to enjoy your favorite any size iced coffee like caramel or French vanilla for just a buck. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, come on now. You know you deserve it. A steak patty on any McDonald's breakfast sandwich. I mean any breakfast sandwich. Biscuit, McMuffin, bagel, McGriddles. A juicy steak patty on any breakfast sandwich. And when you order through the app, buy one and get one free. Now go get them.
Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid one time per day. Excludes $1, $2, $3 menu.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
On day 185, LLS helped me file my insurance claims properly.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Here we go, look out below. You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 10th and 11th. We're talking big game from the beach. Yeah, I know you get some big drum off the beach, but ain't nothing, man. Ain't nothing like getting one of these 6, 7, 8 foot, maybe even longer, sand tigers off the beach at night. But let's get to the tackle. As Rodney Harrison said that in Papua New Guinea, don't bring sissy tackle here, mate. He's a big-ass fish. And so, Jordan, getting the right tackle, I mean, it's not just something you grab out of your garage, you go down, it's a basic surf rod and coffee can size reel. This takes some serious consideration, correct?
Yeah, it definitely does.
What do you prefer? Now, I've seen guys out there with conventionals and spinning. So, your choice, what do you got?
I actually do both. I have conventional and spinning. I like fishing conventional a little more. You can kind of fight the fish a little harder, get it in quicker so the fish isn't as stressed out. But there's nothing wrong with using spinning gear either. As long as you have the right size reel and the right size rod, you want something kind of stiff and you want a big reel that holds a lot of line. So you can kind of work that fish in quick and get it out quick.
When you're talking rod, give us a length, a general length.
I would say if you're fishing a spinning rod, I would like 10 foot would be the absolute minimum.
Oof.
You could fish all the way up to 12 foot, especially the reason you'd want a longer rod on the spinning setup is because if you're casting, you're going to want that casting distance and you want something beefy so you can cast that heavy weight.
I guess my 8 foot St. Croix ain't going to cut it. Anyway, Jordan, listen, most importantly, the spinning reel itself, big reel, you need the guts, you need the gears, and you need the drag. Do you have any models in particular that you would not endorse anything here, people, but if you're going to go and you're going to do it, you need to do it the correct way. What do you choose, man?
My go-to is the Vanstall VSX 200. You don't have to go with anything that expensive. You could go with, I have a couple of my friends. I set them up with the Penn Slammer. I set them up with the Penn Spinfisher, the Penn Battle, all really good reels. I like to stick to Penn on the beach. They hold up really well in the sand and in the spray. So, Penn makes some nice reels for fishing in the surf.
Join us online, Jordan Yukevich, young gun shark fisherman from the beach. LBI air and listeners are up and down the coast. You have shark fishing all the way down to Cape May. Listen, what you have to do is make sure, as per a CO callback the other day, make sure you check with your local municipality because some do not allow, believe it or not, do not allow shark fishing certain times of day, if at all. So it's incumbent upon you to go if you want to get into this, and it's a lot of fun, and it can be frustrating, but it can be rewarding as all get out. Make sure you call Stone Harbor, wherever, Ocean City, wherever. Call the town clerk, ask if it is legal to shark fish, especially at night, or during the day, along the beach. Just this way, you are clear. You don't get any surprises. Well, Jordan, let's get to the line. 65 braid minimum. Some guys use 80. Some guys go lower. What's the dealio?
Honestly, it depends on the size of the reel. People have this, this misconception where they think you need super, super heavy-duty line to catch these big fish. That's not the case. I call it, like, one of the biggest sand tigers I've ever caught last summer on 50-pound braid. I mean, it's you don't need to get stressed out over, having 500, 600 yards of a 100-pound line. You don't need that especially for the fishery here in New Jersey. You're not going to be fighting any hammerheads or, tiger sharks on the beach. These aren't the most aggressive sharks you're catching, but they are pretty big. Yep. I would say 50-pound line's good. On my 30 wide, I fish 65 pound line, 65 pound braid. And that does the job for me. I get plenty of line capacity. I've never had a problem with my main line failing.
What about the tether, the end game there, Yukevich? Is it fluorocarbon or mono? Is fluoro necessary?
No, not at all. So typically my rig, I have 25 to 30 feet of mono.
There you go.
And the reason that you want the mono that long is because you want the rule of thumb is that you want the mono double the length of the fish you're catching.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sometimes they get tail wrapped and, you know, their skin's very, it's like sandpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get chafed off pretty easily. So I fish 25 to 30 feet of 300 to 400 pound mono. And then I connect everything with crimps. And then I go to cable. The reason I prefer cable over the wire is because the cable is a little bit more flexible. You know, you catch a couple fish on the wire, it gets kinked up,
yep.
Like that.
Like my hair, people. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't feel like dealing with that. So I crimp everything using the cable. And then I go to so the hook size, it all depends on whether or not, you know, or how big your bait is. You know, on the beach, I like to use some pretty big baits. So sometimes I'll go with like a 16-0 circle hook, you know, perfect circle. And one of the most important things that, you know, makes my life a lot easier is actually crushing the barb of the hook.
Bingo.
Yep.
There
that,
you go.
You know, that helps you get the fish into the water faster because, you know, with the circle hooks, as long as you stay tight, you don't have to worry about the fish coming unglued.
Is that right?
But when you crush that barb, you can pop that hook out pretty quick. So, you know, it makes the, you know, the fish feel better. It makes me feel better getting that fish back in the water.
Listen, joining us on the line is Jordan Yukabich. We're talking sharks from the beach. And remember, he mentioned hooks, crushing on the barb. It's required to use non-offset, corrodible, non-stainless steel circle hooks. Here's the exception, except when fishing with flies or artificial lures when fishing for sharks recreationally. Listen, all the info is going to be on page 19 of the Marine Digest. Well, Jordan, here's my question. Now, you're talking big baits. It ain't easy to lob a half a skate out there. But I understand you get, and the guys that use drones even, you get in a kayak and kayak your baits out to come back in. That's crazy, yeah. Man. What's up with that?
Yeah, no, that's how I deploy my baits. You know, it seems scary at first, but, you know, the more you do it, like anything, the more you'll get comfortable with it. It's actually not that bad. I mean, you need to be with a good group of people to help you. It's not something you can do by yourself.
Non-solo, you okay.
Yeah, you should definitely not, you shouldn't shark fish by yourself anyway. But, honestly, one of the things that helped me the most getting the kayak out there is, you know, turning the lights off on your head. Everyone has a headlamp on usually. You know, that when you have that light on, it's reflecting off the water, so you can't really see that far in front of you. But if you turn your light off, your eyes adjust, and you can actually see the sets of waves coming.
Mm-hmm.
So with the buddy, you know, you can time it right, and you get in that kayak, he gives you a good push, and you start paddling for your life.
Well, Jordan, are there instances where the bites basically just pass the wash? I've seen that.
I mean, yeah. So, like, we've had a couple weeks ago, me and my buddy Ryan were out there. You know, these kids to the left of us were deploying baits probably only at, like, 100 yards with the drone. You know, and they're catching some of the smaller fish, but I was kayaking out pretty far, and we got two pretty hefty sand tigers. They got to be 250, 300 pounds. They're big fish.
Oh, with that, man. Give me my trigger fish off the Jetty Rocks. Well, Jordan, listen, again, the take of these sand tigers or whatever's going to be out there, Grimmies, I mean, is it just a pick up and run, or you got to thump the rod, bend, come back? Describe a take, please, especially one of these bigger fish.
So what I've noticed is with the mackerel, they typically will just pick it up and run. But when I'm using like the bigger baits, like skate, any kind of carcass, they kind of let it eat a little more. You know, they kind of chew on it. They'll swim a little bit with it. They'll drop it and they'll pick it back up again. It's really weird. It also depends like if they're kind of lethargic from that water being a little cold.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm deploying like my really big baits, I'll put it on my 30 wide because I have 700 yards of line, so I can really, you know, let them eat. But yeah, you also a good thing to pay attention to is if a shark picks it up and swims in at you got to pay attention to that.
There you go. Yeah,
the slack of your main line, because if that drops down and then you just had it tight, the fish probably picked up the bait and swam at you.
Jordan, question now. You just mentioned that they swim in. Is that the norm? Or, again, listeners, look at the map. Look at the globe. These fish pick up the bait and then head off for the coast of West Africa. I mean, and on the hook set, are they running out or is it up? I've seen it both up and down the beach, left, right, as opposed to straight out. Have you seen it both ways?
Yeah. So we had a couple fish. The two of the fish that we got last week were, ones that came in at us. But I've caught a lot more fish that just run out into the deeper water than come in at you. But it's good to pay attention to, when they do come at you, because you don't want to, have a fish on your line and have no idea, and then all of a sudden you lose it.
Jordan, have there been, besides sand tigers, I've seen some big-ass smooth doggies there, and a tune of almost 4 feet long. Have there been other sharks besides the sand tigers that are in the zone?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the goals of mine. I'd love to catch a big thresher from the beach. A couple guys did it earlier this year. And, that'd be so sick. You have no idea. I'd love to be in a position to do that. So you can get some threshers if you're real lucky. I haven't heard many, black tips or bulls getting caught, really. But that's something you could catch, but it's not very common.
I know down south, Ocean City South, browns seem to be, and also out there to the south of Mahoga, going over, browns seem to be kind of prevalent. Predicated on here, Jordan, will this bite last into September, October? Does it tone down by then?
Yeah, so it's actually, it lasts pretty long. It will go into September, but a lot of guys, they kind of stop fishing right around that time. But, the end of September and October is like a good time to catch a thresher from the beach, because you got to figure that in June, usually when that water's finally just starting to get warm, is when the threshers are pretty thick.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really wanted to get that beach thresher like I do, I'm going to be trying to fish that time, and hopefully I can pull one out of there.
Listen, you'll recognize Jordan. His eyes are the size of saucers. The guy's a maniac. No, I'm kidding. Jordan, before we're up against a hard break here, the end game now. You can, and I see, listen, I had a guy on a few years ago. He wrote I still think he's doing seminars up there at the Holiday Inn in Manahawkin for the commercial guys. Shark identification, because brown sharks, duskies especially, there's that confusion in there. During the end, and you see them with their hands like, Jordan, handling the fish, again, especially if you have any size, but especially if you have one of these horses, these 200-400-pound fish in a beach. They cannot, you don't bring them up on the sand. How do you handle these things in the water and letting them go? You turn them around. What's the dealio?
So what I like to do is I always keep all of my tools in one bucket. Everyone that I fish with, if they know where it is, and if it's the first time I fish with them, I tell them where the bucket is and what's in it. That helps me. So God forbid you can't get a hook out or whatever and you need to cut the hook. I have bolt cutters in there. But typically, since I crush the barb, I don't really have a hard time getting the hook out. Yep. I have a dehooker tool that helps me do it. It's something you can't do by yourself. You have to have a good group of people to help you get this fish back in the water. So typically what I do with my friends is once we start turning the fish around, it's kind of funny because they kind of seem like they have a direction that they want to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when you're working with your friend, you just have to communicate. All right, hey, this fish wants to go left, so we're gonna pull them out there. I usually pull them out to like waist deep water, and then he wants to go left, so we're gonna swing them right.
Okay.
So we swing them around right, and we give him a good shove off, and he usually just swims off.
So the communication coordination with your fishing associates is vital to making sure this fish gets away safely, correct? Gets released safely, rather?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yo, Jordan, thanks for joining us on Rack of In. Listeners, big game from the beach. It's pretty involved, but it is really something to experience. I may try it, but I better hit the gym first because I am one big wad ass of Jell-O. I don't know, Jordan. I think they dragged me in, don't you think?
I'll lock you into a belt. I'll put you in a fighting belt, Pompey.
Jordan, thanks for joining us. Hey, good luck there on the beach. Now, you're going to be fishing into end of September, early October then, huh?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean...
Hold on. Save his number, man. I'm going to be calling. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
No, I'd love to, but, you know, I also love catching big tuna and striped bass in the fall, so...
Okay, Jordan, you take care, man. Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. See you soon, man.
All right. See you, Tom. See you.
That is just one kind of sport, man. Wow. Okay, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Hey, man, big event coming up in Chemung pretty soon, man. And then in two weeks, the 24th. Check it out. Hang in. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Sean Hannity.
Maybe some of you are thinking this thing was in the bag. Well, do I think Kamala Harris is a stronger candidate? I actually don't. I think she's more radical than Joe. And polls actually show that replacing Biden with Kamala Harris won't move the needle. Latest polling, replacing Biden with Harris is yet to move the needle at all.
Sean Hannity on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. Speaking to supporters in Glendale, Arizona, Vice President Kamala Harris blaming former President Donald Trump and congressional Republicans for the stolen border policy reform.
Earlier this year, we had a chance to pass the toughest bipartisan border security bill in decades. But Donald Trump tanked the deal.
A $95 billion bipartisan border deal tying aid with Ukraine with the border funding died in the Senate in May. Meanwhile, former President Trump's plane landed in Billings, Montana Friday night after suffering a mechanical issue, according to the U.S. Secret Service. The GOP presidential nominee transferred to a private jet to Bozeman, Montana for a rally with GOP Senate candidate Tim Sheehy. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, partly sunny, breezy and less humid, high 91. Tonight, patchy clouds in the area, low 67. For tomorrow, partly sunny skies with low humidity, a nice end to the weekend with a high of 84. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 59. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Last week I mentioned our two outstanding events happening August 24th. One we covered last week, the 8th annual Play Hooky Veterans, Children with Disabilities, and Active Duty Military Fishing Day out there at Lake Juliana and the Ponderosa Estates. To register, visit Eventbrite and two greater slashes in there to get more information. But with the days getting closer and closer to the hunting seasons, we have another super event scheduled for that day from the Indian Mills Deer Club. Now, you talk about the iconic South Jersey Deer Club. This club has been around since 1958. I know there's some that have been around earlier than that. But I spoke to a gentleman there, the club treasurer, Christian Sabella. This is a super event. Families especially are invited to this. Youngsters are really, really encouraged to attend. This is going to be a great time. And all you can eat, pig roast, and I'm talking all you can, I don't think they're going to lose money on me. I'm telling you. Besides the pig roasters, hot dogs, burgers, beer, soda, iced tea, lemonade, water, desserts, including a free Mr. Softy. Hey, 300-pound Tom P will be in the house. Chris is joining us now. Talk about the event and give a little history of the Indian Mills Deer Club, which I find fascinating. One of the tenants in their mission statement is to participate in charity events such as road cleanups and donate our club for various fundraisers for people in need who may have terminal illnesses or perhaps just needing financial assistance. Again, giving back. This is in the South Jersey hunting fabric. Christian Sabella, how you doing, man?
Good, Tom. How are you?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock August 24th. Look out. I told you, man, have some gravel there because I leave potholes when I walk.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. We set it up this year. We added a lot of things, a lot of features, more food stations, more activities for the kids. And there's a lot more opportunity to win some great prizes that we have this year as well.
Kristen, the whole thing with, again, the Indian Mills Deer Club, among others, shout out to the crew there. I hunted once years ago, with the late, great Lou Rodia, a fantastic outdoor columnist right out of Cape May County. In fact, two of my cousins hunted with the club, Rosedale. Now, I understand they're out by McKay's Blueberry Farm, that whole area. I've been out there many a time. There's a, not a slew, but there's like a little chain of deer clubs there. And you hunt mostly Wharton State Forest, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, most of the deer clubs out in that area hunt in Wharton State Forest. So, and like you said, there's a handful of us around, and we all have great camaraderie. We get along, and we share the woods.
Kristen, have you found, how's recruitment, like with the younger generations coming up? Because as you know, I'm sure you're aware, hunting numbers are down nationwide. In New Jersey, it's getting a little alarming. The great job Fish and Wildlife is doing, I mean, stocking the pheasant, you know, the whole nine yards, the habitat, the lands we have, besides wildlife management, your state parks and forests, you can hunt, county areas you can hunt. Are you seeing more youth coming into it down where you are, or is it steady, or do you see a decline?
I would say it's declining, especially, you know, from when I was a kid, which is going back a handful of years ago, but the numbers are definitely down. The youth that are coming to hunt with us, they're coming because their fathers or grandfathers have hunted and they've gone with them. But steadily, I have been seeing the numbers of youth go down, and I think it's affecting most of the clubs and hunters around us as well.
You see, listen, I don't know where this is playing out. I mean, hunting, when I was a kid, we're talking... Wow, we're talking almost six decades ago. I mean, you just couldn't wait to hunt, and there were you know, the hunter education classes packed. I mean, totally. And over the years, it's been up and down. But now the decline is starting there and starting to maintain a steady downward slide. And I find this alarming. One, from the sheer funding end of things, wildlife management, the trapping, the hunting, the fishing. Taking care of the habitat itself. So you have clubs like the Indian Mills Deer Club. Again, of course, you're encouraging the youth to attend, to become, I mean, family members, to bring their kids to this event. And is there a recruitment on your end at the club encouraging youngsters to join, or have family members get the youngsters involved?
Absolutely. We allow the youth to come and hunt with us at no charge.
Wow.
We try to have special events for them in regards to getting them active into shooting. We have a range behind our club that we use actively. I bring my kids there on a regular basis, and in turn, they bring their friends, and we try to grow the outreach that way as well.
Okay, listeners, we have Chris Sabella on the line. He's the treasurer with the Indian Mills Deer Club, around since 1958. They're going to have the Indian Mills Deer Club Pig Roast Saturday, August 24th, starting at 2 p.m. You'll hear me rolling in and rolling out. Everyone is welcome. Ticket price $30. Youngsters 10 and under enter free. It's all you can eat. It includes pork with homemade sides, steamed clams. Sabella, you're killing me, man. You're just killing me here. Hot dogs, burgers, beer, soda, icy lemonade, water, and desserts. Includes a free Mr. Sophie live music by Jim Mitchell and the Repeat Offenders. Those guys kick ass, man.
Yeah, they're great. It's a great group of guys. They have their own original music. They do some great covers, and they got a great following. So we decided to book them this year.
You can't get a dance floor big enough. If I show up, those are 50-50 drawings, cash prizes, and basket auctions. Activities include horseshoes, pools, darts, bounce house, and more. So, Bill, you guys really pulled all stops on this.
Oh, yeah. We got some great prizes we're auctioning off, too. We're doing a six-pack Back Bay Flounder Charter.
Whoa.
Out of Avalon. Fully guided duck hunt from Full Choke Outfitters. Free shooting lessons, anything from basic pistol carry to concealed carry, you have an opportunity to win. We're giving away Yeti coolers, large electric stainless steel smokers, and
wow,
then multiple clay shooting rounds as well from the Pine Belt.
Listen, this is August 24th, starting at 2 p.m. location at Indian Mills Deer Club, 671 at Sion Road, or Atsian Road, however part of the state you pronounce it, in Chemung, or Chemung, again, however you pronounce it with the accent, New Jersey, for your GPS 08088. Well, Sabella, if I can for a minute, give us a history of the club established in 58. How many members, and besides you do the community events, whatever, you're getting everyone involved here. It's it looks like a win-win all around, but surviving since 58, man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so the club's been around since 58, and to be honest with you, it's that local family presence that kind of keeps it going. The families in Chemung have been members at the club for since 58 it started. We still have some members that have been around for almost that long now.
Wow.
So we do have a little bit of an older crowd in some situations, but the younger guys, such as myself and the president and vice president, we're updating some things. We're getting some more membership. It's a family atmosphere, right down to the cooks in the kitchen. And we have a great time. We look forward to it every year. Just like you said, the good old days when you're a kid, you couldn't wait for hunting season. We all still feel that way.
Well, Chris, are you actively recruiting members, or do you have a limit on membership total?
So we have two types of memberships, full memberships that hunt with us and range members. The range is at capacity, but the hunting membership is an opportunity to join the club. So, yes, we are actively recruiting.
It says Indian Mills Deer Club. Are you strictly about the whitetails?
Yeah, this club particularly strictly about the whitetails, but we do have a handful of events every year in regards to we do pheasant hunts every year.
Nice.
We do trap shooting as a club every year. So we have multiple events at the clubhouse throughout the year as well.
Fantastic. Listeners, Indian Mills Deer Club Pig Roast, Saturday, August 24th, 2 p.m. Everyone, welcome. Indian Mills Deer Club, 671 at Sion Road in Chemung, New Jersey, 08088. Okay, Sabella, here's my situation with that area. I'm in that area. My beat-up Exterra with all 340,000 miles on it always manages somehow, some way, I don't know what Nissan did with this, you know, transmission, whatever there, it pulls into the Piccolo Inn. I can't help it. I just ended up right in the pickle of Leon. And Bonnie and Cricket, over there. Oh, he's here again. Oh, God. Yeah, I get
That's certainly a good place to break down, that's for sure.
Chris, hey, for more information, how do people find out about it, bro?
So they can find us on Facebook, or they can email Sabella229@yahoo.com. Facebook would be the easiest way. And the flyers are floating around, and they can get the contact information that they need from there. They can buy purchase tickets electronically or in person.
Okay, listeners, take a price, $30, youngsters 10 and under free. And for what you are going to get, I mean, these are just two great events on the same day. I guess I'm going to be 150 pounds that way and 150 pounds that way. It's good. I mean, I'm going to be like a paramecium or an amoeba. What are those things that split? I can't remember my biology. Chris Sabella, thanks for joining us on Rockfin. Good luck. Godspeed. See you in a couple of weeks, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Take care, man. That's going to be super. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, if only 21% of American workers strongly believe in the leadership of their organization, what's missing at the higher levels? We'll explore. Also, Chipotle responds to critics who say the restaurant chain is sometimes skimping on portion sizes. Plus, Olympic athletes in debt in pursuit of gold. And is it risky to take a cruise during hurricane season? That and more on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
Your luxury BMW experience is closer than you think. Take advantage of exceptional savings at BMW of Atlantic City. Stop in and shop your favorite models, including the new BMW 2 Series, X3, and more. We're sure to have a vehicle that fits your needs. And with AcceleRide, purchase your vehicle online and we'll deliver it directly to you. Looking to trade? We'll pay top dollar for your current vehicle. Experience luxury today at BMW of Atlantic City. Closer than you think. In Egg Harbor Township. Shop our complete inventory online at BMWAtlanticCity.com.
Timmy, everybody. Great job. Next up for our fifth grade class recital, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high-stress performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through December 28th, Castrol Edge and Edge High Mileage Motor Oil are on rollback at Walmart.
Claim based on sequence dyne test under high load conditions versus API SP test limits.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher-end auto-pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Summer. Wait, we need to finish school shopping.
We got this. The kids' favorite Good & Gather snacks at Target are now at a new lower price.
And $5 lunch boxes. Well, let's get Luna the Flower Bento box.
Good idea. And for our Mega Shark fan Max, I got the Shark Backpack. It's only $20.
Even 25-cent select crayons and $6 tees.
And we're done.
Now, where were we?
Cheers to us. When it comes to finishing your supply list, Target has your back to school.
At Skechers, we put the S in comfort.
Wait. Skechers put the S in comfort?
Yes. Comfort you have to feel to believe. Skechers, we put the S in comfort.
Let me try. Okay, I'm just stepping in and... Oh, wow. Skechers put the S in comfort.
Duh. We told you.
Find Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, wrapping you up this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 10th and 11th. Again, full disclosure, we're in the studio very early this week. We have a domestic situation we are taking care of at home, so we will be off the grid this weekend. So, okay, Debbie's coming up. We know that. The bands are out there. What the weather is going to be, I'm hearing three or four different things. You know what to believe. But here are the prognation, a fishing forecast, possible weather forecast for this weekend is the Indomitable. Captain Dave the Rave Shoal, Absecon Bay Sportsman Center, 81 Natalie Terrace in Absecon. Captain Dave the Rave, what do you call for this weekend, my brother?
Well, as much as I usually hate Northeast and as much as I, you know, and I love to see good weather, we've been having this hard Southwest so often. We've had an unbelievable amount of cold water upwellings down here, and it's got the fish going crazy. They don't know what to do. They don't know whether it's time to spawn or it's time to hibernate or what.
Yeah.
So it's been a little tough, but the fish are here, and they're going to be caught. And I think this little disturbance just might be enough to give us a complete turnover and mixing in the water. So you could, you know, even these guys are running out on the reefs. They're running all over the place, and the water's so cold at the bottom. You know, they freeze their hands when they grab the sinker, bringing it up.
But, Captain Dave, we caught some flounder. They were wearing mittens. No kidding. Little egg reef, they had mittens.
Well, the bait is in. You know, the back bays are not lost. Don't even think about that. You know, everything's in here. There's been a real good striper bite, you know, around the coast on the high tides when they come in looking to grab some of this bait that. Yeah, you know, they get stunned by the cold water when the tide comes in.
Yeah, Dave, peanut bunker all over the place. I'm seeing hatches of mullet now spearing everywhere. It's a smorgasbord for the game fish. Croakers, well, they're eating croakers even. And spot
yeah,
everywhere.
I always call it bait soup. I've never seen so many spot in Absecon Creek. And then from what I hear, they are absolutely everywhere, along with the croakers. We've been catching them off the dock, and I got some really... nice little ones of big tip. You just turned it on. These flounders have so much selection right now that if you're a flounder fisherman and you think the regular old minnow is going to cut it, well, there's all the, you know, like you said, you got peanut bunker, you got mullet, you got spot. I'm not so sure about the croakers because they're pretty hard-headed stuff, but I know they'll eat them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta go to the fancy bait. Yeah, you know, it's like going to the fancy restaurant. If you put it on a buffet, the shrimp and clams will disappear fast. That's for sure.
Captain Dick, hearing anything on blues? They seem to be hit and miss. Like more miss than hit.
Yeah, I think that's a temperature deal too. You know, it's this water. Yeah, you know, they live out in the ocean, so they got So they got these strange bouncing around water temperatures. That's tough on the bluefish. I have seen a couple of new hatch snappers that are little snappers in our creek here when we're catching the bait off the dock. So maybe the future's good. Who knows? But take what's here. You're on the rivers. And the perch are going wild.
They are,
Every year they seem to get better. If you just want to get dinner and sit down, relax, go upstream somewhat. Even Abseekin Creek's been on fire, and from what I hear, every creek up and down the coast.
The white perch bite is blazing, is what Captain Dave's saying.
blazing, but... There's plenty to get out there. We get this storm through, and the one thing I like about what I'm seeing on the weather is that it looks like it's going to come right up over the coast. It's not going to be out on the ocean. We're not going to have a storm that's going to wipe out the tuna fishing, going to wipe out everything. It's just going to be a mixer. And if the wind's not blowing too hard, and I don't think it will by the time it gets here, even if it's showering a little bit, get out and fish because they're going to be here.
Dave, my question is, I'm wondering if it's going to be the 35 or 40-year downturn, the paucity of blowfish. Where did the puffers go? I mean, there's some picking them off here and there. But actually, listeners, with the white perch bite going that crazy, I don't miss the blowfish that much, although they are, except for maybe triggerfish, the best eating going. But, Dave, have you heard anything in your bay down there with blowfish? I mean, some are getting caught in crab traps. Some guys are finding them in some of the holes or grass flats. But it's been nil compared to the past 7, 8, 9 years.
Yeah, I don't know why. These bays here just don't get them up in Barnegat Bay. That's been filling up, but I have, when I hear about one, it's like, oh, I caught a blowfish. Oh.
Okay, Cap, listen, man, you have a great weekend. I'll be stopping in here sometime next week. What's the crab situation, Joel?
Oh, the soft-shell crabs are fantastic. And don't forget, everybody, the crabs ain't going to shut down because of a little weather, and the crabbing has been fantastic.
Phenomenal. So, Dave, it's been phenomenal. Man.
Yeah, the commercial guys are actually overloading, so get out and catch the crabs. Like I said, as long as you can get off a bridge, you can get back in a backwater somewhere, take your boat, catch the crabs, if nothing else, and you can catch perch, and usually you catch perch and with them right next.
Show before I let you go real fast. I need a sugar report. What do you got?
Oh, she's as ornery as ever. We took her out in the boat yesterday. It's first boat ride she's had in a couple years since my wife had her knee surgery. So,
Did she? She was like Sea Dog from Captain Crunch. I bet she took over.
Oh, she does. She loves it. She loves to take a ride. She don't care car, boat. She likes to get out of the house, and the only thing she likes better than to leave is come back.
Okay, Cap, real fast now. What you have your tournament set for this fall? A couple of tournaments going on. What's the deal?
I had so much fun, and everything was so good with the big tournament, but it's so much more work than anybody can imagine. And I just miss too many days of fishing. I much prefer to be on the water with the rod in my hand myself, and well with my customers, because that's the biggest thing I love is my customers catching the fish and see the faces, especially when they bring their kids, bring their wife. And then she outfishes them. That's like really, really, that gets you going.
That's par for the course. Captain David, take care, man. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Take care, brother. Captain Dave, the radio show. That'll do it for this week on a Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weather is as weather does. See you next week. Grab that cup. Not grab that cup. Sorry. There's a lot of stuff going on in the parallel universe of Tom P. and Rack and Fin Radio. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Get out on the water and enjoy. If it's wet, wear the rain gear. Fish are wet anyway. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.